Lord, this morning we thank you that when we call on the name of Jesus, you answer. At the name of Jesus. That's how we were saved, by calling on Jesus. That day that you spoke to each of our hearts that are standing here this morning, and we said, Jesus, we want you to be our Savior and Lord. And you came that day, rushing onto the scene, into our hearts and lives. And I thank you that the name of Jesus, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's power in the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you for the gift of being able to call on the name of Jesus anytime. And that when we do, you come. You arrive on the scene and bless us with strength and bless us with your presence and your peace and all that we need in the moment. You know, even the times, that's all we can get out is Jesus. You come and you bless us in those moments with what we need. Thank you for the power in your name, Jesus, this morning. In you. As we're here in your presence this morning, we invite you, Jesus, to continue to work in us, to continue to minister, to continue to speak to us. As the Word of God, your very words are opened up to us. Holy Spirit, take it out in power, we pray today. And we pray these things in the name and in the authority of Jesus alone. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. I'm going to invite you to take out your Bibles and go to James chapter 3, if you would, with me this morning as we continue on in our series together. James chapter 3. There was a gentleman whose name was Ben, and Ben decided that he wanted to join a monastery one day. And so he went and found one, and he talked to the head monk, and the head monk said, Ben, that's fine. You can join us, but it's a silent monastery, so you're not allowed to speak. And he said, I'm okay with that. And he said, okay, Brother Ben, then you're welcome to come and to join us. And so he joined that monastery, and for 5 years he lived in complete silence. Would that kill any of you this morning? I would be in so much trouble if that was me. But for 5 years he was in silence, and then at the end of 5 years he got permission to say just two words. That was it. Only two words. And so he thought carefully and cautiously when he was told he was allowed to share only two words. And this is what he came up with when he spoke to the head monk. He said, hard bed. And he said, oh, Ben, we're so sorry to hear your bed's hard. We'll take care of that and fix that for you and make sure your bed's not hard anymore. And so Ben was happy. He got his two words in. And then another 5 years passed, and he said to him at the end of that 5 years, Ben, you can say two more words to us. And again, Ben was very cautious and careful. If you get two words, you better think through that, right? And so he said, cold food. And he looked at Ben and he said, I'm so sorry to hear about the cold food, Ben. We'll take care of that issue for you and make sure the food's not cold anymore. And then another 5 years passed, and he made it to his 15-year anniversary at the silent monastery, and he was given permission to say two more words. And so Ben, again, approached the head monk and was very careful with his words, and this is what he said. He said, I quit. And he looked at Ben, and he said, you know, he said, that's probably the best for both of us anyways. All you've been doing since you got here is complain anyways, Ben, so it's probably good that you leave the monastery today. Now, how many of you this morning know that there is power in the words we choose to say? There's power. Do you believe that this morning? Have you experienced that this morning? The power within the words. As a matter of fact, James, in James chapter 3, if you'll read along with me in verses 1 through 8 here, I want to just bring this to life a little bit for us, and then we're going to unpack it together after we pray. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body. Verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison, he says. Let's pray together. Father, this morning as we unpack your word with your help, Holy Spirit, because I don't have anything worthwhile to offer, but you do. I pray you'll speak to our hearts in this moment, and you'll reveal to us the things you want us to catch this morning from the Word of God that's powerful and life-changing, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to say to us, and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want to just challenge us to think through the first point that's up on the screen. What if we realized how much power is in our words? You see, words can bring life and hope to people. Have you been in that situation where somebody shared words with you? And man, it brought hope rushing onto the scene. It brought life rushing into your heart and into your mind when the words were shared with you that somebody said. It changed everything for good when they spoke the words they spoke. But also, our words can cause devastation if we're not careful. Have you been in that scenario as well? Where somebody spoke some words hastily and they didn't think through what they were about to say and bam, it just hit you hard. I was thinking about that because when I was at my last church, I was out riding on the quad one day with my boys, and I just so happened to not have a helmet on because they were wearing the only helmet we had at the time. And I remember riding through there, and they like to go fast, and so does Dad. Any dads with me on that? And so I pushed the lever as fast as we could go, whizzing through the area we're going. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a yellow jacket or a wasp or something just bang right on the forehead. And when it hit me on the forehead, it not only stung by getting hit hard going fast, but it stung me literally. And I remember just trying to flick it off as I'm driving, trying to keep control of the quad and everything. And I remember instantly the stinging and the hurt and the pain and just how intense it was when it just hit me out of the blue, out of nowhere. And sometimes that's how our words are when we speak them in haste to people. It just hits them hard, like a sucker punch to the gut or like a smack across the head like I got from that yellow jacket. And the stinging sensation is there and the hurt is there instantly because of the power that is in our words this morning. And James makes that crystal clear. Look in verse 3 if you would. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well, he says. Now, on the screen here is a picture of a horse. And look, looks like a beautiful horse, doesn't it? I'm not a horse fan because I had a bad experience on a horse one time. And it knew that I was scared of it. And they can sense when you're scared of them, can't they? And I remember, though, looking at a horse one day when I was next to it and thinking, man, this thing is big. It's powerful. And then I was like, this thing also has a mind of its own. And they do, don't they? They have their own personalities and their own minds, and they do things they want to do sometimes. And I'm not the guy to be on their back when they have their own minds and personalities and want to do what they want to do because I will go berserk. I don't trust them, and because of that, they understand that. But isn't it amazing, something so big and so powerful and that has a mind of its own, that you can take that bit on the picture next to it and that you can put it into its mouth, and if you've worked with it enough as a human being, you can tell it which direction to go. You can steer it. These big, powerful, you can tell it to go to the left or to the right. Is that true, John and Lori? You can tell it when to stop. You can tell it when you want it to go. Just by that little bit in its mouth of this big, powerful horse, you can guide it. And then he says this in the next verse. He says, and look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so we have all these big ships in that huge ocean. And you got the waves and the wind on top of things, and the sea has a mind of its own, doesn't it? And there's these big ships, and then there's those little rudders on the back like that are just a tiny little thing on that big ship. And yeah, the pilot can direct a ship in windy and stormy seas and tell the ship which direction to go just by putting that rudder to the left or to the right. It can control a big ship like that. And so James says with these big things, we can control them with something small. Then look what he says next in verse 5. He says, so also the tongue is a small member or a small thing. So he's shifting gears here. Do you see it? He's saying, okay, those are two big things that we can control with something small. Now let's move on here, he's saying to the church. And by the way, your tongue isn't even that big, he's saying. And you would think with something so small, we could control it after those big illustrations, right? But he says, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things, or it talks all the time. It always is throwing things out there, isn't it? And then he says, and how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. So now he shifts gears as he's talking about our small tongues, and he gets into the analogy of fire. And this was something that the readers would have understood because they used fire. And he strategically chooses the word carefully because he wants them to catch the dangerousness of these small tongues that are within our mouths this morning. And so he talks about the fire. And he talks about how fire can destroy, how fire can do such damage if it's not controlled. If somebody's not wise and handling it carefully, it can get out of complete control, he says. And we all know that it just takes one little spark or one little ember to set an entire forest on fire, don't we? And when that happens, what's it do? It destroys everything and anything in its path. It literally takes lives. It takes structures. It takes out the entire forest in front of it. It destroys everything in its path whenever that happens. And James says in verse 6, listen to what he says now, and the tongue is a fire. So now he's tying it all together, isn't he? He's saying these small tongues of ours are just like that fire we're talking about. It's a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The NLT version says it's a world of wickedness, and it can be if we're doing the wrong thing with it. And the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell, he says. And so he says it's a wicked thing, and it can set a huge fire just like that is what he's getting to. And I don't know about you, but I've realized these tongues can cause a whole lot of damage in my life and in the lives of others around me if we are not careful with these small tongues. And that's what James is saying. You don't believe it this morning, then just take a peek, if you would, around at our culture, and you'll see the damage these tongues can do, don't you? I mean, think about professional athletes and think about politicians and those that are in the news all the time, you know, that are actors and actresses. And what are they under fire for typically? For things that they say, aren't they? Because they said something they shouldn't have said, and then it causes a huge fire to get out of control around them by the uncareful words they allowed to come out of their mouths this morning. Or how about this? Sometimes you don't even need to say the words physically anymore because we live in a world of Facebook land and Twitter, don't we? Which is not always pretty, is it? I mean, we see all the time people taking to Facebook and taking to Twitter and saying things that they're thinking in their minds that they love to say verbally, and they just put it on paper and send it out there to cyberland for everybody to see, and it causes a world of damage because there is power in our words this morning. And that's what James is trying to allude to. He's saying, man, there's these big, powerful things that we can control with something so small, but yet these little tongues, man, we can't control them. And these little tongues can cause huge devastation, he says. And so we got to realize the power in the tongue and in our words. I remember when I was a younger kiddo, and I was in Cub Scouts, and then I graduated to Boy Scouts before I dropped out for sports when I was a teenager. But I remember going to my Cub Scout meetings in Little Lake City, Pennsylvania, right on Lake Erie there, and we went to this little tiny Methodist church after school once every couple of weeks to meet with our den leader. And I remember one kid in particular. I can't remember anybody's name, but one kid whose name was John Oakes. And John Oakes was bigger than all of us. That's why I remember John. He was huge. He was tall and thin and lanky, and he was super duper uncoordinated because his body grew so quick he couldn't keep up with it. Ever met a kid like that? And so he's just all over the place. You play games, and John was usually on the floor because he just couldn't keep up with the rest of the crew because his body grew so fast he didn't know how to control it. And I'll never forget, though, how rude and crude some of the other kids were to Big John Oakes. They would just say things to him about his clumsiness, about his height, about him being so thin as a rail, all kinds of whatever they could think. And man, they would toss words out left and right towards John Oakes. And I'll never forget one day in that little church in Lake City, Pennsylvania, I went into the restroom at my Cub Scouts meeting, and I remember hearing somebody in the stall just weeping and crying. And I'm thinking, as a little kid, who's in there crying, you know? And I recognized kind of through the weeping, that it was John Oakes. And here he had locked himself into the bathroom stall because he'd finally had enough with the stinging and hurtful words that the kids were all saying to him. And he was locked away in there, trying to hide himself, trying to get away from the pain and the hurt of the words. And here I am, fast forward 30-some years later, standing in front of you this morning, and I remember the power of those words that were spoken to John Oakes. I remember his name. I remember that day just like it was yesterday. And guess what? Those words weren't even spoken to me. But I remember the power of them. You know what I'm saying? And how many of you this morning are in the same boat? You remember power of words in your past. You remember the words somebody spoke to you. Maybe for some of you, it was very hurtful things they said. The words they said stung, like I talked about at the beginning. It just hit you hard, and it's hard to get those words out of your heart and out of your mind. And you still remember those words because there was power in the words they shared. Some of you are sitting here, and you remember the positive words somebody shared. And man, they gave you life. They gave you hope. They catapulted you forward for good things. You see, this morning, I just want to challenge us to remember that there's power. We need to stop before we speak and think, because there's power in the words we let roll off these tongues. James continues in verse 7. Look along with me. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And that's true, isn't it? You watch TV and you even have animals, and all kinds of animals have been taken in as pets, some that aren't meant to be, and people can tame them. People can train them to do things, can't they? And so he talks about that, but then he says this, but in verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. And he's saying you can tame those big animals and all kinds of animals and train them up, but not this tongue. This is one thing that you cannot tame, he says. He says this next. It is a restless evil, which means it's unable to relax, which means it's got to be in constant activity, this tongue of ours. And it's evil to begin with, and he says it's restless evil. So always thinking about what can I say, what can I do next. And then it says this. He brings it home by saying it's full of deadly poison. Now, let me tell you, these people he was speaking to in the church there, they understood poison and the effects of it, didn't they? Because they knew that kings had cupbearers in those days, right? It was a cupbearer's job. They had the awesome privilege of making sure that the king wasn't going to die by what he was about to drink, didn't they? How would you like that job this morning? Putting your life on the line with every little sip you took because it could be tainted and poisoned to take the king out. And so when he said this, they understood what poison was all about and what it could do. They had poison in those days. And he says our tongues are full, not just of poison, but he uses the word of deadly poison for a purpose, because of he knows the damage these tongues can do. And how many of you know poison affects and infects the body both, doesn't it? Think about that. It both affects and infects the body. And so he's saying that about our words here, and it's powerful. Just like poison would just flow through the body quickly and affect and infect the body when ingested, our words will do the same thing as what James is saying if we are not careful with our words. It will flow through the body, through heart and through minds quickly, and it will be hard for people to dismantle the nonsense and the words that we put out there that are deadly and damaging if we're not wise this morning. And so what if this morning we realized how much power is in our words? What if we stopped to think about that each day, each conversation, each moment, especially when you're angry and frustrated and hurt before we spoke? Because James says there's power in these tongues. It's a world of fire. It's a world of wickedness, of unrighteousness, is what he says. The second thing James says that I just want to kind of point out that we're kind of reading about here as he's kind of sharing is that we need to be careful in our words. So what if you this morning chose our words carefully? There's so many things in life we do carefully. Would you agree with me on that this morning? I mean, I look at life and I'm amazed at how many things we're careful about. We're careful about how we use knives in the kitchen when we're cutting things up, because none of us want to make that trip to the ER, right, to get stitched up. We're careful with our stoves and with our grills and things like that when we're cooking with the hot flames and the things that are in front of us, and not to touch hot surfaces. We're careful when the weather is yucky and the snow's flying, like it will be in a few weeks after the sunshine leaves us behind, right? We're careful on those roads when we know they're treacherous and icy. We take some extra time. we're careful with riding quads and different vehicles like that. Oh, we even tell people around us all the time to be careful, right, moms and dads? We're careful, aren't we? We say, now you be careful. Don't you run with those scissors in your hands. Or, hey, that pencil, don't you run with that pencil. How many of you parents had that conversation? Or, hey, you know, don't swallow your gum. That's not good for your digestive tract. Be careful. Spit that out, right? Or be careful you don't choke with your food. Cut it up smaller. Or, hey, be careful when you're hanging out with your friends that you don't make the wrong decision or the wrong choices, right? Or, hey, be careful, you know, and call me when you get there so I know you're there safely. Or text me today is what parents say, right? Give me a text so I know things are okay. And you would think that how careful we are with all kinds of things that we would be just as careful in training up people to be wise with their words, wouldn't you? You would think if I'm so worried about my kids and all these other things to be wise and careful with, that this is a huge area that I'd really pour into as well and say, guys, be careful. I want to train them up to be wise with their words. Because think about this. James tells us the damage that can happen. And here's the problem. We know these tongues, that they can lie, they can gossip, they can slander, they can manipulate, they can hurt, they can cause chaos, they can do all kinds of things. They can tear down, they can wound. John Stowell says this, it's the dragon within the dentures. That's what he says about our tongues. The dragon within our dentures, he says. And I think that's a powerful way to put it because of if you stop to think about it, our tongue can be used by the enemy any moment at any time. And let me tell you, he's more than willing to take your tongue on loan for his duties in this earth. Did you know that this morning? Hey, if you volunteer it over, he's going to take it all day long to use to advance his kingdom and to hurt and to wound and to tear people down and to dismantle in hearts and minds. He is more than content. And that's why James says what he says to the church here, because he knew that they were wrestling with this very issue that we wrestle with if you fast forward to us today. And that's why he says it's a fire that can destroy. It's a poison. And that's why he challenges us here. But let's not forget this morning that fire can also be used for good. Amen? Think about that. Just as it can be used for bad and destroy, it can be used for good. It can be used for fuel to cook our food. It can be used for heating so that we can get warm as well. It can be used for light so we can see and be protected. And just like fire can be used for good, so can our words be used for good, for God's glory this morning. And that's why we have this challenge by James here, because God desires to use these tongues to glorify him this morning, to build up others in our lives and in our worlds. He wants to use these for his glory, for his honor, for his kingdom's advancement is what he desires. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 4:29, I'm going to be there for just a second. You can turn there and then go to Ephesians 5:4 for just a second. I love what Paul tells the church in Ephesus, these powerful words here. And again, when he says these words, understand he's talking to the church. He's talking to believers here, okay? He says in 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Now, that word corrupting means no wicked talk. That word corrupting means no evil talk. That means no dishonest talk. That means no lacking integrity kind of words. That means no crooked words. That means no abusive words. That's what he's saying there when he says no corrupting talk. It's all of those things. And he's saying, let none of that come out of your mouths to the believers. There's what he's saying. He says, but here's what you should let come out. So aren't you glad he doesn't just say what not to do? He tells us what to do next. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so he's saying, but only let the words that are positive and Christ-like and the words that are good and helpful and edifying and that are going to build up those around you be the things that come flying out of your mouth to those that are the hearers, is what he says. Now, if you jump to Ephesians 5:4, I love the way he puts it here. He says, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving, he says. And so he says here, the foolish talk, the filthiness, the crude kind of talk in conversations, do you see what he says? He says, those don't belong in your life. They're out of place for children of God's. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? He's saying that's not even in your vocabulary. That shouldn't even be a part of your conversations or your lives. That's out of place in the life of a believer and never should be coming out of your mouths, is what he's saying. And so it's not something we should have. And so the question is, what kind of things have been rolling off your tongue in the past week? What have those that are near and dear to you been hearing? Your coworkers, your friends, your acquaintances, your family? Have they heard things coming off that are positive, or have they heard the stuff that he said to avoid rolling off of your tongues? You see, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all if we've got nothing good to say at all. Amen? Sometimes the best thing is to say nothing at all if we've got nothing good to say at all. And that's a powerful thing to realize, because if we are wise this morning, this is so cool. Listen to this. If we are wise this morning, we have the ability to stop forest fires from happening because of our words, to stop wild horses from running wild and creating damage wherever they're running, and to stop shipwrecks from happening. Isn't that a cool thought? We have the ability to do those three things if we are wise and careful with the words that we choose. We can stop those things from happening in our lives and in our worlds, and we got to be careful. We got to be wise with our words. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 3:10, whoever desires to love life and see good days, he says, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, he says. And so keep these tongues from speaking anything that's against the kingdom of God, anything that doesn't glorify God, anything that the enemy would want them to be saying. He says, keep them from all those evil kinds of things, is what he's saying to do. And I asked this question this morning. What if we chose our words carefully? How would relationships change in our lives? How would people be encouraged and uplifted this morning in our worlds? How would things change in our workplaces? How would things change in our homes if we were wise and careful with the words we chose to say? And what if this morning, because here's the deal, we're careful with so many other things. What if we set out to say, God, every day, I want to be careful with my words. I want to be careful. As a matter of fact, the last thing is this. God, I don't want to just be careful. What if I choose to say, God, I want to be Christ-like with my words? I want to be Christ-like. I don't want to just be careful. I want to be Christ-like. And asking the questions this morning, is this a wise thing to even say? Is this going to glorify God at all? Is this going to build up that person at all? Does God even want me to say what I'm about to say? Is it even biblical what I'm about to say to this person? You know, asking those, would Jesus say this? And if Jesus would say it, how would Jesus even say it? If you're sure that Jesus would say what you're about to say to somebody. So I want to be Christ-like. In James 1:26, jump back with me, because God is serious about our words. James says this, if you jump back just a few chapters to verse 26. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious. Now, let me stop there. Obviously, when James says this, he's referring to an individual who thinks they're religious. So get this. Those around the person don't think they're religious. Do you see it there? The person that James is referring to is the one who believes they are a religious person. That's what James is saying. So this guy or lady thinks, I'm a religious person, is what James is saying. And he says, if anyone thinks they are religious, he or she is religious, and does not, listen to this, bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Or so this person who doesn't keep a tight rein on their tongue, this person who lets their tongue get out of control, James is saying. So this person is actually, James is saying, being a hypocrite. They are self-deceived. They're not a religious person at all, is what James is saying. He says, because of this person, look at the end, their religion is worthless. What they think is their religion isn't really religion at all. It's a worthless thing. And what he's saying is that the proof is in the tongue. Do you see it there this morning? And what he's saying is one of the marks of a true follower of Jesus is a gentle tongue. That's one of the proofs. I've seen that. Have you seen that this morning? I've seen some amazing followers of Jesus and the gentleness in their words, and it just blew me away to see Jesus through their words. Have you been there, believer? The love, the compassion, the Christ-likeness of the things that they said were just powerful, and even life-changing things that they said and shared, because of they were a person who was following Jesus and saying, God, I'm going to be careful with my words, and I want to be Christ-like with my words. And when that happened, it was life-changing things, because of it proved to me even that this person is a total follower of Jesus. I could tell by the conversation. Have you been there? It's a powerful moment. As a matter of fact, in Colossians 4, in verse 6, it says these words as well to the church in Colossae. Paul says, let your speech, or let your words, or let all of your conversations, is what Paul's saying, everything that you say, let it always be gracious. Now, that word gracious there means to be courteous. It means to be kind. It means to be pleasant. It means to be polite. But ultimately, it means let your words be Christ-like when he says gracious. Amen? Let them be Christ-like. And then he says, not only let your speech be gracious, but then he says, seasoned with salt. Let your words be seasoned with salt. And I could imagine James here thinking back to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. You can jot it down and check it out later, where Jesus was with the gang on the Sermon on the Mount, and he was telling them that they were to be salt and light in the world. And so I could imagine he's reaching back here. Paul's reaching back here, and he's remembering that this morning, that moment, and hearing this being said, that Jesus had shared these words. And here he is bringing it back again, saying, okay, let your speech be gracious. And then Paul's saying, and let it always be seasoned with salt. So your words even are part of the God seasoning in the world around you. Isn't that a cool thought this morning? Your words are a God seasoning to the world around you. They're a taste of heaven. They're a taste of Jesus. The words that you share and say is what he says. And that's a big thing to remember. And so the question is that true for me this morning? Are my words gracious? Are my words Christ-like? Are my words seasoned with salt to those I've been speaking with on a regular basis? And only I can answer that for me, and only you can answer that for you. I'll never forget the true story I heard a number of years ago about an individual who was really wrestling with some addictions in their life, and they were really trying to overcome them. They went away, left their small town to get some help to beat the addictions they were wrestling and struggling through, and they came back home, and they really wanted to get their life right with Jesus too, though, because they knew that was the most important thing. And so this individual decided to go to church one Sunday morning, and they picked a small church in town that, and everybody in town knew everybody and knew everything about each other, whether that's good or bad. And so this person went to church this Sunday morning, and they pulled up in their car, and they just wanted to get right with Jesus. That's what they wanted. And they made their way towards the church building. And as they were making their way, there was a little pocket of people talking in the parking lot over to the side. And they looked as they got out of the car, and they said these words in their conversation. What is so-and-so doing here? How long do you think they'll hang around? You know, with what they've got going on in their life, why are they here? Do they deserve to be here in church? Do we want them here? And that person heard those stinging words. And guess what? They didn't go into the church building. They turned around, and they went right back to their car, and they got in and left. And they never returned to a church again in their lifetime because of those harsh, unchrist-like words. Believer, that shouldn't be happening this morning in our circle of influence. Amen? Our words are powerful. I believe that this morning. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to do damage against the kingdom of God. I want to do damage against the enemy by being wise and Christ-like with my words. Amen? And you know, this morning, as you think about that and those words, if you don't got anything good to say, don't say it. If you can't say it to their face, don't say it. If it's not Christ-like and doesn't pass the test of Christ-likeness, be quiet. Bite the tongue and don't say anything at all. Amen? That's where we got to be this morning. What if each day we prayed and asked, like the psalmist says in Psalm 141:3, listen to what he says. Check this out. Memorize this verse. Hide it in your heart. This is such a cool verse. He says in verse 3 of Psalm 141, O God, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, he says. Isn't that cool? He's saying, protect my mouth, God. Control my mouth, God. What a prayer. What a prayer. And then he continues and says, and keep watch over the door of my lips. And what he's saying is, if I'm not going to say anything good at all, shut the gate to that lip of mine, God. Don't let anything come out that shouldn't come out. Close the gate of my lips, God, if it's not Christ-like. What a prayer to pray this morning. And every day we have that decision and choice if we're going to do that or not, if we're going to be Christ-like or not. And we got to stop to realize there's so much power in our words. This week somewhere, there's going to be teachers that are going to be stretched and challenged. You teachers know that, right? And there's going to be kids that are going to push their buttons in the schools where they teach. And unfortunately, somewhere in some place, there's going to be a teacher this week, and they're going to have their buttons so pushed that they're going to say something like this. They're going to say to a kid, you will never amount to anything in your life. And they're going to walk away feeling good about what they just said to that kid. And guess what? By the end of the day, they'll forget what they said to that kid. But can I tell you, that kid will never forget the words that teacher just spoke to him, because there's power in those words. Or how about us parents? Oh, man, we got to be careful and Christ-like with our words with our kids. Amen. We may not remember a year from now what we said yesterday or today to them, whether it's negative or positive, either direction. But I can guarantee you, they're going to remember. They're going to remember. Or how about your spouses or kids, your parents, right? Your parents, husbands, wives, and parents. You know, when's the last time they heard encouraging words from us? You know, when's the last time, fellows, you said to your bride, you're beautiful. I love you. I cherish you. You're such a great daughter of the King of Kings. I'm proud of you. And I'm proud of the woman of God you are. When's the last time, ladies, you said to your husband, man, you're my hunk. I love you. Thank you for being the man of God that you are, the example that you are. Thank you for being the hard worker that you are. Kids, when's the last time you said to your parents or us, I have parents too, a mom too, thanks for being a good parent. Thanks for all that you do. Thanks for pouring in. Thanks for being an example. You see, our words will be remembered and cherished, or they'll be remembered and the sting will be there. Are you with me this morning? And so it's huge that we stop and take inventory with the kinds of words that we're letting roll out of our mouths this morning. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up, he says. Now, the Greek for that word encourage means this. It means one who puts courage in the heart of another by what they say. Isn't that cool? You're putting courage in another person's heart by the things that you're saying, is what Paul says. And so the question is, have I been putting courage in other people's hearts? Or have I been putting discouragement in their hearts? What have I been doing this morning is the ultimate question that we need to answer. But I don't know about you. I want to put courage in people's hearts by being Christ-like and choosing my words carefully, because I even know that ultimately in Matthew 12, Jesus said these words that are life-changing things to latch a hold of in 36 through 37. He says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken, Jesus said. That word empty means for every idle word, for every careless word, for every worthless word, for every unchristlike word that we let roll off these tongues, we will give account to Jesus someday. Does that scare you, believer? It makes me want to every day carefully think through and pray through and choose to be Christ-like with my words. Because let's be real, there is power in our words this morning. Amen? And that's why James shared what he shared this morning. So what if I was careful with my words? What if I thought through them before I said them? What if I asked the question, is this what God wants? Is this what God desires? And should I even say it at all? How would people's relationships with me change and me with them? And how would lives be changed if I chose to live that way this morning? Would you stand with me? As we close this morning, just bow your heads and close your eyes, if you would, with me just for a moment this morning as we get ready to go out into the day. There is power in our words. So God expects us to be careful, and he expects us to be Christ-like. So here's my question this morning. Have you been careful and Christ-like? Have you been wise? And if not, do you owe somebody an apology maybe in the days ahead? Seriously, think about that. Is there anybody in your world and in your life this morning that you need to go back to? Because even as you're sitting here this morning, you remember the words you said to them just recently. And man, they weren't pretty. And maybe this morning you realize that there's a, just like I talked about, the words stung them. It just nailed them, the words that you shared. And oh, it felt good for you for a few moments when you said them. But you know, standing here today, that wasn't Christ-like and that was wrong. And this week, today, God's speaking to you and saying, I want you to go to so-and-so and tell them, man, I am so sorry for those unchrist-like words I let roll off my tongue. I didn't mean that. they were wrong. Will you forgive me? And then we'll think carefully and wisely as we go. Because listen, our words can cause a forest fire. Our words can cause a wild horse to run and destroy. Our words can cause shipwrecks and damage if we're not careful. And that's what James wants us to know. So, believer, can we guard our words together? Amen. Can we be Christ-like? Can we be careful? I believe we can through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that this morning? And that's going to be my prayer in the days and weeks ahead as I continue to journey. God, I want to be a man of God with my words. I want to be careful. I want to be Christ-like. Help me to think twice before I speak. Help me to bridle this, Lord. Help me to put a hold on things that shouldn't be said and to shove them off the scene, because I don't want to be working for the enemy. I want to be working for your kingdom. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters and me today. Thank you for the gift of conversation. Thank you for the gift of words. This is a God thing. If it wasn't for words, we wouldn't have heard the good news of Jesus. So we thank you that there's good in our words. And I pray, Lord, that we remember to carefully navigate through life with the right words, the Christ-like words, each day. And Lord, I pray for myself and brothers and sisters that if there's anybody in our lives this morning that we spoke to in haste and we spoke to out of line and we said something to we shouldn't have, that today you're nailing our hearts and minds with Holy Spirit, even as we're sitting here, that was unChrist-like, that we will have the guts and the courage and the Christ-likeness to go to them this week and to say, I'm sorry for that moment. Will you forgive me? And I pray that each day, Holy Spirit, you will give us strength and wisdom and power and direction to be Christ-like with our words. And that, Lord, we'll speak life to people. We'll speak words of encouragement. We'll put courage into the hearts of people, encouragement into their hearts, like Paul said we are to do by the things that we say. And Lord, when we gotta show tough love sometimes, will you in those moments give us a Christ-like way to do that? You can do that. I know you can, and I pray you'll help us to do that with the right words in those moments and times. So, Lord, I pray you'll bridle these tongues and that you will help us, Lord, to do the right things. Help us on the journey to be wise stewards with our words, we pray. Now, Lord, bless us as we go and continue to work in us and to sharpen us this week. And thank you for your word today. And for speaking to our hearts in these moments. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.